Now, perhaps we could turn in God's Word this evening to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 is our reading, and we're going to begin our reading tonight at the 20th verse. Isaiah chapter 45, beginning our reading at verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Saviour, there is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. Let's unite together at the throne of grace. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for what our ears have heard this evening. We thank thee for the ministry in song. And we pray, our God, that thou wouldst bless that word to every heart. And we pray now that as we meet around the holy pages of God's word, that that word might be a blessing to our souls. It might be as a rebuke. It might be as an admonishment. It might come as a help and as a spur to our souls, and particularly to those that are not saved, that thou hast by thy grace saved them and wash them in thine own precious blood. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. My text tonight is verse 22 of this chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. This is the text of scripture that the great Baptist preacher C.H. Spurgeon was saved through. Many of you will know the story. It was a small gospel meeting in Artillery Street in Colchester. Little more than a dozen people were present. I had the privilege of going and being in that church a few years ago, and I can see it now in my mind's eye, the place where Spurgeon sat. At the time of Spurgeon's conversion, there had been a snowstorm that was raging. Spurgeon, then a teenager, had been trying to get to another church. He was under conviction of sin. He was earnestly seeking salvation. But in the midst of the snowstorm, he had given up, and he'd seen this little church, and he'd gone in there. And here is his description of the meeting in his own words, and I quote, "At last a very thin-looking man, a shoemaker or tailor or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. He was obliged to stick to his text for the simple reason that he had little else to say. The text was, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. He did not even pronounce the words rightly, but that did not matter. There was, I thought, a glimpse of hope for me in that text. The preacher began thus, my dear friends, this is a very simple text indeed. It says, look, now just look. Well, a man needn't to go to college to learn to look. You may be the biggest fool, and yet you can look. A man needn't be worth $1,000 a year to be able to look. A man needn't be, anyone can look, even a child can look. But then the text says, look unto me. Aye, said he in broad Essex, Many of you are looking to yourselves, but it is no use looking there. You'll never find any comfort in yourselves. Some look to God the Father. No, look to Him by and by. Jesus says, look unto me. Some of you say, we must wait for the Spirit's working. You have no business with that. Just now, look to Christ. The text says, look unto me. Then the good man, Spurgeon said, followed up this text in this way. Look unto me. I am sweating great drops of blood. Look unto me. I am hanging on the cross. Look unto me. I am dead and buried. Look unto me. I am hanging. I rise again. Look unto me. I ascend to heaven. Look unto me. I am sitting on the Father's right hand. Oh, poor sinner. Look unto me. Look unto me. When he had gone about that length, Spurgeon says, and managed to spin out 10 minutes or so, he was at the end of his tether. Then he looked at me under the gallery, and I dare say with so few present, he knew me to be a stranger. Just fixing his eyes on me, as if he knew all my heart, he said, young man, you look very miserable. Well, I did. But I had not been accustomed to have remarks made on my personal appearance from the pulpit before. However, it was a good blow struck. He continued, and you'll always be miserable. Miserable in life and miserable in death if you do not obey my text. But if you obey now this moment, you'll be saved. And then lifting up his hands, he shouted, as only a primitive Methodist could do, young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. You've nothing to do but to look and live. And then Spurgeon says, I saw at once the way of salvation. Like as when the brazen serpent was lifted up, the people only looked and were healed. So it was with me. I'd been waiting to do 50 things. But when I heard that word, look, what a charming word it seemed to be. Oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away. There and then the cloud was gone, the darkness was ruled away. That moment I saw the sun and could have risen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them of the precious blood of Christ and the simple faith which looks alone to Him. Unquote. And that's the way that 15-year-old Charles Spurgeon found Christ. Eventually he preached to thousands, for 40 years, maybe to 5,000-6,000 people in a service every week, until he went to heaven on January the 31st, 1892. But it all started with a realization that he could look to Christ and live. As a helpless sinner, he just looked to Christ, like the dying Israelites when they were stricken in their sickness because of their sin, and the serpents were biting. They looked to the brazen serpent and they lived. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for thee. Then look, sinner, look unto him and be saved, unto him who has died on the tree. And like that tradesman that spoke in that meeting in Colchester, we say to you, look, look, look to him for salvation. Look unto him and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. You know, we're living in a day of danger and a day of fear. And in the midst of it, thank God, there's a remedy. And it's the same remedy that Spurgeon found many years ago, is to look to Christ and live. And so for a few minutes this evening, very simply, I want us to look at the hope that we have in this text of Scripture. And I want to urge you to look and live as Spurgeon did so long ago. There are just some things in the text of Scripture that I want you to see. And the first thing that we need to notice is the source of salvation. What does it say? It says, look unto me. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. So the text is exclusive. It says, the Lord says here, look unto me. And he says, there's nowhere else to look. He says, there is none else. And I want you to see that center. There's no other person. There's no other thing. There's no other organization. You need to look to him. God does not say look to yourself. There are many trying to look to themselves to get out of their problems. He does not say look to your religious leader. He doesn't say look to your priest or your parson or your pastor or your prelate. Doesn't say look to your church membership or look to the ordinances. It's not religion that you need. It's Christ that you need. And he says, look to me. Look to me in repentance. Look to me in faith. He doesn't say to you that you need to examine yourself and what you've done and what you've said. He says, look to me. And that's what you need to do. And you need to look to him because of his sovereignty. None else can save, but thank God he can save. There's none can deal with your problem, but he can deal with your problem. You know, I wonder if you've ever considered how great your problem is. You know, the bend of our hearts is away from God. The bend of our hearts is towards sin. Maybe you've wrestled with some besetting sin. And maybe you made some progress at times. But dear friend, you've always been defeated. You think of the governments of this world. And they're spending millions and billions of pounds to try and deal with crime. And deal with unsocial behaviour. And deal with the untowardness of people. And yet they can't deal with it. And they're still spending millions on social services, on people who are counsellors, and on people who are law enforcers and all the rest. But still is the problem of sin, because man can't deal with it with all his psychology and with all his counselling. Dear friend, the only one that can deal with your problem is the God who made you. And that's why you need to look to him, because of his sovereignty. And then you need to look to him because of his situation. You see, there's something unique about the Lord Jesus Christ who makes him fit to be the only one who can save you. And that is that he is God and man. The Bible says it, or the Catechism says, in two distinct natures, yet one person forever. And because he is God who became man, he's able to represent man before God. And he's able to come and be God amongst man. And the Bible says that he is the mediator. It says in 1 Timothy 2 and 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You can't go to God in your own. You need somebody to represent you. You need somebody to be your advocate. You need somebody who can stand in God's presence and plead your case. The Bible says we have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he stands between God and man as the mediator. And that's why he alone can see you. That's why you need to look to him, because of his situation. And then you need to look to him because of his sufficiency. He is the righteous Lamb of God. He is the one who kept the law. You think of how even Pilate, his enemy, had to say, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He is the only one who could die on the cross and needed a sinless, unblemished sacrifice. And you need to look to him who was that sinless, unblemished sacrifice. Look to him today because of his sufficiency. But look to him too because of his sacrifice. He is the only one that we look to because he's the one who went to the cross. He's the one who paid the price of our sin. We read in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself to death on the cross. The wrath of God poured out upon him. And he was under the curse for us, as it were. And the atonement was made, and only Christ could do it. The Romans chapter 5 and verse 11 says, "We also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." We're told that Christ, the God-man, willingly allowed himself to be overtaken by death, even the death of the cross. And he died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He humbled himself and became obedient to the cross. And because of that, he's the only one that you can look to. He says, "Look to me." He is the source of salvation. And the only qualification that you need is to be a sinner. And you are a sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're told in John chapter 3 verses 14 and 15, referring back to the incident in Numbers with the brazen serpent. And he said that in order to be born again, what do? You look. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As they look to the brazen serpent in the wilderness, O dear friend, look to him tonight. He is the source of salvation. But then I want you to see another thing. I want you to consider the simplicity of salvation. I want you to realize how simple this is. Look unto me. As the man who's preached when Spurgeon was saved said, you don't need education to look. You don't need £1 million to look. You don't need political power to look. You don't need even moral excellence to look. Thank God today the lowest, the vilest, the most wretched can look. He says, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. All you need to do is to look to apply the remedy. But the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. But look at the presumption of the command. The command to look means that we're not looking. If God has to command us to look, then obviously our gaze is in another direction. We're looking at something else. We're looking in the wrong way. We're looking in the wrong direction. And how true that is. People are looking at all sorts of things today. People are not looking in the right direction. Many people have their eyes on the world. And the world is all their view. There are many people who have their eyes on wealth. And they're looking to accumulate wealth. And they're selfish and individualistic and self-centered in all that they are. And they're looking to themselves. And they're looking to their own thoughts and to their business and to their work and to what they're going to do tomorrow. Where are your thoughts today? Where is your thoughts centered? What are you absorbed in? There are even people who are absorbed in religion who spend their time going and doing penances and saying prayers and doing this and pilgrimage and all the rest. And there are many people who are doing all sorts of things. Dear friend, you're looking the wrong way. The Lord isn't saying, look to pilgrimages, look to prayers, look to religion. He says, look to me. Look to me. Look unto me. Is that what you're doing today? We see the presumption of the command. But look too at the problem of the command. What is the problem of the command? It's too simple. That's the problem with it for so many people. They can't believe that it could be so simple. They're so used to being told that they have to do that and this and the other thing and say their prayers, do their penances and join the church and go through their baptism and do all these things in order to be saved. And they're so used to, oh, you say, but surely I have to do something. Surely I have to say some kind of mysterious words. So surely I have to go through some kind of prayer. Surely I need somebody qualified who will come and show me the way. Surely I need to be led through a ritual or a liturgy or something else. Surely I have to do something. But no, dear friend, this is simple. You look. You look to Christ. You look away from all the other things that are occupying. And you're saying to me, surely I need ceremonies and rites and rituals. No, no. All you need to do is look to Christ. We feel like Naaman at times. You remember the story of Naaman in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 5 and Elisha the prophet. You remember how Naaman the Syrian, an important man, came. He was a leper and he came to Naaman and he wanted to know what he would do. Naaman didn't, or Elisha rather, didn't even come out to meet him. Sent out a servant, told him to go wash 7 times in the River Jordan. And Naaman was absolutely mad that he thought that Elisha would come out, that he would pronounce a ceremony, and he would do something, and he would speak the words, and he would treat him as the important man that he was. And he was mad because Elisha just said, go and wash in the Jordan. But that's what he needed to do. He needed to go and be washed. And that's all that you need to do. To be washed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the problem of the question. But look to it, the practicality of the command. Because what do I mean by looking to Christ? You say, how can I see him? He is God. I can't see God. I can't look to him. What do you mean by looking? Well, you look by faith. Looking means leaning. Looking means trusting. We lift up our eyes by faith. The author to the Hebrews describes his walk with God as looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And when we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we lean on him. We put our salvation and our eternity in his hands. You know the old acrostic, forsaking all, I trust him. The acrostic for faith. F, forsaking all, A, I trust him. And the Bible tells us without faith, it is impossible to please him. And the word for looking there means fixing the eyes. Fixing the eyes on Christ. All by faith, bring your all to him and lean on him. William Penn, the founder of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, had a great relationship with the American Indians. And one day some of the Indians said to him, we'll give you all the land that you can walk around. And so one day, William Penn set off and walked around a number of acres of land. And the Indians were surprised because they didn't think that he'd take them up on this offer. But they gave him what they had promised. And it became the land of the city of Philadelphia today. But William Penn believed. When your parent had faith in what they said, do you have faith in what God says? That he'll save you if you look to him? Have you faith in that today? Looking means leaning. But also looking means leaving. You see, the word look there can also be translated or also means turn back. Turn back unto me, he says, and be ye saved. Turn to me. Turn away from the way you're going. Turn on the path that you're traveling. Turn to me. And that speaks of repentance. Repentance is turning around. It means turning around in full endeavor after new obedience. It's leaving the old path. And we come by faith when we come by repentance. We turn around. We turn away from the things that have been said us, the sins that have held us down. Turn to God. Turn to God by faith. Turning means looking. Or looking rather means leaning. Looking also means leaving. But looking also means not looking. What I mean by that? Well, not being distracted by other things. Looking only to him. The word looking, that is used in Hebrews chapter 12, where it speaks of Paul looking unto Jesus, means looking away from all others. Looking away from all other things. And dear friend, you've got to forget all the things that you're leaning on. Forget the approval of man. Forget the things that you're looking for as a legacy. Forget all those things that are occupying your mind. Look away from those things. And look only to the Lord Jesus Christ. But looking also means loving. Looking unto Jesus. We look to him as our reward. You know it says of the Lord Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And you know we follow him in that. And he looked forward, and by his heart was filled with joy. He looked for the reward. And what is our reward? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's our reward. And we look to him with love. We no longer love the things of the world and our sin. We love him. Do you love him today? Oh, look to him. We see the simplicity of salvation. It's a look. And men, women, the Lord bids you look to him. Are you looking today? Oh, he says, look unto me. Look unto me and be saved. And that's just what you need to do. You need to come. But there's something else that I want you to see in the text, and that is the scope of salvation. We've seen the source of salvation and the simplicity of salvation. But look at the scope of salvation. Look at what it says in the text. He says, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, every sinner, everywhere, commanded to look to God and be saved. And that command goes right to the ends of the earth. It includes the tribes in the Amazon jungle. It includes the Aborigines in Central Australia. It includes the archipelago of the Pacific Islands. It includes the tribes in New Guinea and across the world, wherever men may be. The Lord commands look. Now, you might say to yourself, well, I am obscure. Nobody ever takes any attention to me, and nobody pays any regard to me. I am here, I'm locked down in my house. Nobody even bothers about me. But I want to tell you, the Lord looks upon you. He looks at you, and he wants you to look at him. He wants you to look away from all the trials and the despair and the hopelessness that is in your heart today. And he says, look to me. There are those that take comfort in the fact that they think that God cannot see. But God sees all things. And God promises salvation to those that are high and those that are low, those that are far off and those that are nigh, to everyone in this world who will repent and turn to him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want you to see the scope of this command. God calls all men everywhere to repent. And that means you. The command comes to you. Now, what are you going to do with the command of God? Because if you'll not obey it, that's sin. You may think you're not a sinner. There's sin. We see the scope of the command, or the scope of this salvation. But I want you to see also the security of salvation. He says, look unto me and be ye saved. There is a certainty. There is a security that is expressed here. Not only is there a command in the text, but there is a promise in the text. You know, I wonder if you've ever seen the advertisements that say that this thing is such a wonderful product, But it is not available to those that are in Northern Ireland or to the Scottish Highlands. Have you ever seen something like that? Maybe you've been on the point of buying something and discovered that it's not delivered to Northern Ireland. Well, thank God this is delivered to Northern Ireland. And to go all over the world. And thank God today, those on a desert island, maybe a man that's shipwrecked on a desert island and nobody with him. Thank God that the promise extends to him. And the promise is made on the authority of his word. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The promise is on the authority of his word. It's also on the authority of his promises. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, thank God for the authority of his promises. It is also on the authority of his mission. As the Son of God, the Son of Man, he says, is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if he's come to seek and save that which is lost, surely he'll do it for you. He says, it says in the Bible that they'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. He will save. And you have the authority of his mission. And you have the authority of his character. A just God, a Savior, holy, harmless, undefiled. A man, he's not a man that he should lie in that sense. He is the blessed Redeemer. He delighteth in mercy. We have the authority of his character. And then you have the authority of his record. Because he's never once turned a repentant sinner away. He's never once turned anyone away that looked to him by faith. We think about the poor leper. We think about the Samaritan woman, a harlot. We think about the proud publican, even the persecuting Pharisee. And they all looked to him and they were all saved by his grace. Oh, dear friend, you have the authority of his record that you can trust him. Oh, don't be saying to me, oh, but he wouldn't save me. And God, he saves to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. But there's one more thing that I want you to see, and that's the securing of salvation. When do we look? When's the best time to look? Well, the Bible says now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The time is now. The future is uncertain. We don't know what a day may bring forth. The Bible says that time is short. The invitation is extended now. You know, we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and verses 22 to 28, how the Lord says, and gives the warning. He says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. But then he says, because I've called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye said at naught my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. You know, the Bible says that God will not always strive with man. And here we read about that time when they will seek God and he'll not answer. That's why you need a call now. That's why you need to look to him now. Why you need to come right now and call upon the Lord for salvation. That's what Sage Spurgeon did in that meeting in Colchester, away so many years ago on a cold winter's night. He said, I did look to Christ. I looked until I could have looked my eyes away. And in heaven, I will look still in joy unutterable. Is that your prospect? Look to him today in faith. Look to him today in repentance. And thank God, he says, you will be saved. And saved for all eternity. Will you come and trust him as your Savior? May God write his word upon your hearts. And if God has spoken to you, get in contact with us. Put a comment, private messages on Messenger. Or you can go on to crossgarfbc.org and get contact details. But we love to hear from you. And we'd love to point you to the Saviour, or get your literature, or whatever it is, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our loving God and our gracious Father, bless thy word and write it upon our hearts. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with thy people, both now and in the incoming days, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.